Last week, I threw the Bible on the floor. If you were here, you remember that. And a whole bunch of other stuff. And my point was that it's not about reading a book, reading a Bible, or saying words to pray. It's about relationship with God. It's about relationship. So we're encouraging you this year to use a journal, use a devotional book, read the scripture that's there. But it's not about the activity. It's not a to-do list to check off. It's about relationship. And so one of my hopes is this year that I can help you grow closer and closer to God in a powerful, real, intimate way as we go through this year together. I also said that there's no excuses for not spending time with God. You can't grow. You can't be the person God wants you to be. You can't hear from Him if you're not spending time with Him. So if you have to cut out a TV show or listening to a radio CD player or whatever, spend time with God. Spend time with God. So I want to follow up with this message about seeing and hearing God. I want you to write on your outline, if you want to pull that out, write down this statement. Look when you spend time with God. Look when you spend time with God. It's not just about reading the words. It's not just about praying the prayer. It's about discovering God in who He is in relationship and His ways. Look when you spend time with God to see Him and to discover His ways. Actively, intentionally looking to see God and His ways. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, Jesus is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to the crowds as well as His disciples. And He says to them, Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Most of the time when people read this passage of Scripture, and I have to confess that I've been guilty of it, I focus on verses 19 to 21, where your treasure is, and verses 24, where it talks about who's going to be your master. But today I want to really zero in on verses 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. The eye is the lamp of the body. Now, when he's talking about the eyes, he's talking about what you see, what you take in. So it's not so much, it's not the physical eye, it's the spiritual eye, what you see. And so he says, the eye is the lamp of who you are, your ability to see God and the things of God will result in your ability to understand God and what He wants and do what He wants to do. So a light or a lamp in a house serves the function of revealing what is there. So if you came into this room tonight at midnight, no lights around, you would come into the room and you wouldn't be able to see what's here. So when you light a lamp, you reveal what's there. And then in revealing what's there, you're able to do what you need to do. So when he says the eye is the lamp of the body, he's saying what your ability to see spiritually and hear spiritually gives you an understanding of what's really there, what life is really all about, and then the ability to function in this world. So he says if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, if you are hearing God, if you're living by His truth and His ways, then your whole life, your whole body, your whole soul, your whole heart, you'll be able to see what's there. You'll be able to see when you're following the truth. You'll be able to see when temptation is there. You'll be able to see and hear when God whispers to you about doing something. So your ability to see and hear what God wants you to see is the light that comes in. He says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if you are not able to see, or you're not spending enough time with God to see Him and His truth and His ways, then you can't tell what's going on in your life. It's darkness. Because God's truth, God's ways, and God's presence are the light that gives us the ability to see reality. That's why when Jesus was here, the disciples would be thrilled with the miracle Jesus is doing, but the religious leaders are angry because their eyes were bad. They weren't seeing or hearing what Jesus was doing and saying. And so they were living in darkness. And then he says in verse 23, if your eye's bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the darkness in you, if then the light in you, all that you're seeing, that which is coming in, is darkness, how great is that darkness? Because if I think that I am seeing, the religious leaders thought that they were seeing, they thought they were taking in the light of God, but the truth is they were in darkness. They were not able to see, and as a result, they couldn't understand the ways of God. They couldn't hear what Jesus was saying, and so they missed God altogether. So as we spend time with God, that's a part of what we're doing. We are looking for Him, and we are looking for His ways. This picture, it's interesting because this picture is couched in between two very common, well-known passages of Scripture that actually are referring to the light coming into our lives. He says, go back to verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice what he's saying. What are you looking for? Are you looking for treasures on earth? Or are you looking for treasures in heaven? So he's saying, if you want to have the ability for your eyes to see what's really there, the truth of God and who God is, then you have to focus on the eternal things. And by focusing on the eternal things, it cleans the eye. It makes the eye healthy so that you can hear. Because if you're focused on material things, if you're trying to gather things in heaven, you will be blind and not even realize that you're not following Him. And then jump down to verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and man. So here he says, if your eyes are the light of your body, of your soul, of your heart. He says, if you want to be able to see clearly, then you need to make Jesus master rather than money. Make Jesus master. So if we focus on eternal treasures and focus on Jesus as master, that's how our eyes are open and we're able to see what God wants. So that's the context for spending time with God. Because when we're doing that actively, focusing on the eternal things, making Jesus master, then as we read the Bible, as we read the devotional book, as we pray, we will be seeing God and we will be transformed by His presence. So as we designed the journal, we did it very specifically so that under each day there's one chapter for you to read. Just one chapter, because we want you to slow down. In the past, we've asked you to read 3-4 chapters a day, trying to, information overload is what it ends up being. So this is just one chapter. And as you're reading your devotional book, as you're praying, and as you're reading the scripture, you start looking. You look for the eternal things, and you look for Jesus as master. An insight to remember. And so as you go to this passage of Scripture, you're not just reading it, but you're actively looking to see what's there. God, what is it that you want me to see? And so the insights to remember, what is the truth that you're being reminded of? What is the words of Jesus that really catch your attention? What is it that touches you? So you're looking for something that will touch you. And then under that is actions to take. You're looking for something God might want you to do. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, so you're listening for the whispers as you're praying, to make it come alive. Because the eyes of our heart are only good when we're focused on the things of God and Jesus himself. Why is this all important? Let's talk about, for the rest of the message, the reasons why we must intentionally, intently look for God and his ways. Number one, first reason is because we see what we're looking for. We see what we're looking for. If you're reading this passage of Scripture every day and you're not particularly looking for anything, it can get boring, it can get dull, it can feel like there's no vitality in the relationship with God because you're not looking for anything. We see what we're looking for. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? This is Jesus talking to the 12. He's saying, he's giving them some spiritual truth, and they're going, we don't get it. And he's frustrated, and he goes, you've got eyes, but you don't have spiritual eyes. You've got ears, but you don't have spiritual ears. Because you're not looking for me. You're looking still on the things of this earth, and you're not making me master of your life. And so as Jesus healed the man's hand on the Sabbath, one of his early miracles, he comes to the synagogue, and there's a man who's got a withered hand. And Jesus looks and sees all the religious leaders over there just waiting to see what he's going to do. And he heals the man's hand on the Sabbath. The crowd, you know what? Remember what the crowds did? They were amazed and astonished and they glorified God. You know what the religious leaders did? They were amazed and they were angry and they tried to kill God. They both saw the same thing, right? Same event, exact same event. But they saw what they were looking for. That's the way we do in life. And so with your daily appointment with God, you need to direct your attention. God, what is an insight that you could tell me? Look for it. How can I make you master and Lord of my life? Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Because we see what we're looking for. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, you see what you're looking for. When you look at that coworker, you will see good things or you will see bad things. You will see things that you're glad for, you'll see things that you don't like. When you go home and whoever is there, you'll see kids that love you and want to spend time with you, or you'll see kids that are in your way, because we will see what we're looking for. I want to drive this home, so we're going to do a little exercise. I'm going to put a picture up here, and I want you to, don't shout out loud, I just want you to think, what is it that you see? Ready? What do you see? No, audience participation. What do you see? What? Faces? Anybody else? A forehead and chin. Yep. So how many people, first thing they saw were the faces? How many people saw the vase? Now, in the brain studies that they've done, they say what happens is when you see something, your brain immediately goes into a search mode to try to figure out what it can relate to that will help you interpret what you're seeing. And so those of you that saw the vase, your brain went, vase. Because somewhere back in there, it identified with it. That's what it resonated with. The rest, the others of you, you saw the faces. Now, I want to show you another picture, and I want you to look for the word lift. You see it? How many people saw it right away? How many people saw puzzle blocks? Okay. People that don't read well. Now, do you know why most people saw the word lift? Because you see what you're looking for. I told you ahead of time, right? Next picture. What do you see? How many first saw the rabbit? How many first saw the duck? How many can't see either one? How many don't see both of them? You're only stuck on one. Okay? Duck, here's the bill, here's the head. Rabbit, here's the eye and the nose and the ears. Okay? Next picture. Don't put it up yet. Next picture. In this one, I want you to look for the bridge. I want you to look for the bridge. How many people see the bridge? How many people saw the boats? You see the boats? Now, do you know why it was a split? Because I told you what to look for. We see what we're looking for. So when we go to God, if we're not looking for anything in the Bible, if we're just reading it because it's there, you're not going to see what God wants you to see. But if you're looking, asking God, show me what you want me to hear. Show me yourself. Show me what your ways. Last one. What do you see? Okay, how many see the young lady? How many see the old lady? How many see both? Okay, here's the young lady, feather on her head. This is her hair, her chin. The old lady, this is her nose, this is her mouth, her eyes, and her hair. Now, I have a hunch that it's because in advertising they use young women. And so our brain subconsciously just goes through, what do we identify with? What do we identify with? Young lady. We see what we're looking for. And so when you're using your journal, when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading your devotional book, when you're praying, look for God. Look to see what he's doing. Look to know him intimately in relationship, but also to know his ways. That's the two purposes. That's in the scripture. Treasure in heaven or treasure on earth. That's God's ways. Money is your master. Jesus is your master. That's God's personality. That's who God is. Jesus and his ways. And so in Matthew 6, if you're looking for treasure in this world, that's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to be about. If you're looking for Jesus, that's what you will see. Now, I want to show you a video clip. It's a little bit longer than the ones that I usually show, but it really drives home this point. And the point is, you see what you're looking for. You see what you're looking for. Watch this.
Do you think it's possible to control someone's attention? Even more than that, what about predicting human behavior? I think those are interesting ideas if you could. I mean, for me, that'd be the perfect superpower. Actually, kind of an evil way of approaching it. But for myself, in the past, I've spent the last 20 years studying human behavior from a rather unorthodox way, picking pockets. When we think of misdirection, we think of something as looking off to the side, when actually it's often the things that are right in front of us that are the hardest things to see, the things that you look at every day that you're blinded to. For example, how many of you still have your cell phones on you right now? Great. Double check. Make sure you still have them on you. I was doing some shopping beforehand. Now, you've looked at him probably a few times today, but I'm going to ask you a question about him. Without looking at your cell phone directly yet, can you remember the icon in the bottom right corner? Bring him out, check, and see how accurate you were. How'd you do? Show of hands, did we get it? Now that you're done looking at those, close them down, because every phone has something in common. No matter how you organize the icons, you still have a clock on the front. So, without looking at your phone, what time was it? You just looked at your clock, right? It's an interesting idea. Now I'll ask you to take that a step further with a game of trust. Close your eyes. I realize I'm asking you to do that while you just heard there's a pickpocket in the room. But close your eyes. Now, you've been watching me for about 30 seconds. With your eyes closed, what am I wearing? Make your best guess. What color is my shirt? What color is my tie? Now open your eyes. By show of hands, were you right? It's interesting, isn't it? Some of us are a little bit more perceptive than others. It seems that way. But I have a different theory about that, that model of attention. They have fancy models of attention, Posner's trendy model of attention. For me, I like to think of it very simple, like a surveillance system. It's kind of like you have all these fancy sensories, and inside your brain is a little security guard. For me, I like to call him Frank. So Frank is sitting at a desk. He's got all sorts of cool information in front of him, high-tech equipment. He's got cameras. He's got a little phone that he can pick up, listen to the ears. All these senses, all these perceptions. But attention is what steers your perceptions, is what controls your reality. It's the gateway to the mind. If you don't attend to something, you can't be aware of it. But ironically, you can attend to something without being aware of it. That's why there's the cocktail effect. When you're in a party, you're having conversations with someone, and yet you can recognize your name, and you didn't even realize you were listening to that. Now, for my job, I have to play with techniques to exploit this, to play with your attention as a limited resource. So if I could control how you spend your attention, if I could maybe steal your attention through a distraction. Now, instead of doing it like misdirection and throwing off to the side, instead what I choose to focus on is Frank, to be able to play with the Frank inside your head, your little security guard, and get you, instead of focusing on your external senses, just to go internal for a second. So if I ask you to access a memory, like, what is that? What just happened? Do you have a wallet? Do you have an American Express in your wallet? And when I do that, your Frank turns around. He accesses the file. He has to rewind the tape. And what's interesting is he can't rewind the tape at the same time that he's trying to process new data. Now, I mean, this sounds like a good theory, but I could talk for a long time and tell you lots of things, and they may be true, a portion of them. But I think it's better if I try to show that to you here live. So if I come down, I'm going to do a little bit of shopping. Just hold still where you are. Hello, how are you? It's lovely to see you. You did a wonderful job on stage. You have a lovely watch that doesn't come off very well. Do you have your ring as well? Good, just taking inventory. You're like a buffet. It's hard to tell where to start. There's so many great things. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Hi, sir, could you stand up for me, please? Just right where you are. You're married. You follow the directions well. That's nice to meet you, sir. You don't have a whole lot inside your pockets. Anything down by the pocket over here? Hopefully so. Have a seat. There you go. You're doing well. Hi, sir, how are you? Good to see you, sir. You have a ring, a watch. Do you have a wallet on you? Well, we'll find one for you. Come on up this way, Joe. Give Joe a round of applause. Come on up, Joe. Let's play a game. Pardon me. Don't think that you need this clicker anymore. You can have that. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Come on up to the stage, Joe. Let's play a little game. Now, do you have anything in your front pockets? Money. All right, let's try that. Can you stand right over this way for me? Turn around and let's see. If I give you something that belongs to me, this is just something, a poker chip. Hold out your hand for me. Watch it kind of close. Now, this is a task for you to focus on. Now, you have your money in your front pocket here?
Yep.
Good. I'm not going to actually put my hand in. Looking for his wallet. Let's do this simply. Squeeze your hand. Squeeze it tight. Do you feel the poker chip in your hand?
I do.
Would you be surprised if I could take it out of your hand? Say yes?
Very.
Good. Open your hand. Thank you very much. I'll cheat if you give me a chance. Make it harder for me. Just use your hand. Grab my wrist, but squeeze. Squeeze firm. Did you see it go?
No.
No, it's not here. Open your hand. See, while we're focused on the hand, it's sitting on your shoulder right now. Go ahead and take it off. Now, let's try that again. Hold your hand out flat, open it up all the way. Put your hand up a little bit higher, but watch it close there, Joe. See, if I did it slowly, it'd be back on your shoulder. Joe, we're going to keep doing this till you catch it. You're going to get it eventually. I have faith in you. Squeeze firm. Squeeze. You're human. You're not slow. It's back on your shoulder. You're focused on your hand. That's why you were distracted. While you were watching this, I couldn't quite get your watch off. It was difficult. Yeah. Yet you had something inside your front pocket. Do you remember what it was?
Money.
Check your pocket. See if it's still there. Is it still there? Oh, that's where it was. Go ahead and put it away. We're just shopping. This trick's more about the timing, really. I'm going to try to push it inside your hand. Put your other hand on top for me, would you? It's amazingly obvious now, isn't it? It looks a lot like the watch I was wearing, doesn't it? Oh, thanks. But it's only a start. Let's try it again a little bit differently. Hold your hands together. Put your other hand on top. Now, if you're watching this little token, this obviously has become a little target. It's like a red herring. If we watch this kind of close, it looks like it goes away. It's not back on your shoulder. It falls out of the air, lands right back in the hand. Did you see it go? It's funny. Got a little guy, he's union. He works up there all day. If I did slowly, if it goes straight away, it lands down by your pocket. I believe, is it in this pocket, sir? No, don't reach in your pocket. That's a different show. Sorry, that's rather strange. They have shots for that. Here, can I show them what that is? That's rather bizarre. Is this yours, sir? Yes. I have no idea how that works. We'll just send that over there. That's great. I need help with this one. Step over this way for me. Now, don't run away. You had something down by your pants pocket. I was checking mine. I couldn't find everything. But I noticed you had something here. Feel the outside of your pocket for a moment. Down here, I noticed this. Is this something of yours, sir? Is this? I had no idea. That's a shrimp.
Yeah, saving it for later.
You've entertained all these people in a wonderful way. Better than you know. So we'd love to give you this lovely watch as a gift. Hopefully it matches his taste. But also, we have a couple of other things. A little bit of cash. And then we have a few other things. These all belong to you, along with a big round of applause from all your friends. Joe, thank you very much. So, same question I asked you before, but this time you don't have to close your eyes. What am I wearing? Attention is a powerful thing. Like I said, it shapes your reality. So I guess I'd like to pose that question to you. If you could control somebody's attention, what would you do with it? Thank you.
All right, just pause it for a second. So how many were surprised when he had a different shirt on? Remember, the point is we see what we're looking for. And what he's doing is simple misdirection. He's very good at it, very, very good at it. But it's just, it's not magic. It's, you know, it's not the devil working. It's just misdirection. And so he gets our attention, he gets us to focus our attention on one thing so that we don't see what he's doing someplace else. Now, I want you to watch specifically for how did he change his shirt. I want you to watch.
Now, I mean, this sounds like a good theory, but I could talk for a long time and tell you lots of things. If I show that to you. So, how are you?
There you go.
It's lovely to see you. You did a wonderful job on stage. You have a lovely watch that doesn't come off very well. Do you have your ring as well? Good. Just taking inventory. You're like a buffet. It's hard to tell where to start. There's so many great things. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Hi, sir. Could you stand up for me, please? Just right where you are. Oh, you're married. You follow the directions well. That's nice to meet you, sir. You don't have a whole lot inside your pockets. Anything down by the pocket over here? Hopefully so. Have a seat. There you go. You're doing well. Hi, sir. How are you? Good to see you, sir. You have a ring, a watch. Do you have a wallet on you?
I don't.
Well, we'll find one for you. Come on up this way, Joe. Give Joe a round of applause. Come on up, Joe. Let's play a game. Pardon me. Don't think that you need this clicker anymore. You can have that. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Come on up to the stage, Joe. Let's play a little game. Now, do you have anything in your front pockets?
Okay, pause it. Now.
Money, all right.
How many caught it? How many caught it? Okay. Just back it up about 20 seconds and do it again. Right there is fine.
Don't think that you need this clicker anymore. You can have that. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Come on up to the stage, Joe. Let's play a little game. Now,
how many
do
saw
you have
it?
Anything in your front pockets?
Okay, as he's walking down the aisle, he raises his eyebrows, and then as he turns, he grabs his collar, and he goes over, and he's giving the clicker away, and he pulls down the shirt that he had, and he lays it over there. Now, we don't see that because we're not looking for it. But if you're looking for something specific, can you turn the lights back on? If you're looking, you will see, we see what we're looking for. Now, one of the ways the devil keeps you from focusing on God, Jesus, and his ways is by misdirecting. And we'll look at that a little bit more. But that, it's simple misdirection. That's why it's so important that we intentionally, intently look for what God is doing. So we see what we're looking for. And then number two, we follow and become what we're looking at. We follow and become what we're looking at. So we see what we're looking for. We follow and become what we're looking at. We follow our eyes. If our eyes are going a particular way, if our focus is going a particular way, that's the body, the mind, the heart. Everything follows that. And then the direction that we're going will cause us to become what we become. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Our natural bent is not to look for God and his ways. Our natural bent is to look for things that we like, the things that will benefit us. We're born selfish, and that's our natural bent. So in order to look for God and see God and his ways, we have to intentionally pay attention and look for it. And so Paul in Ephesians says, look carefully. Apollo Robbins, the guy that we saw up there, is able to do what people had not given him permission to do by misdirection. The devil will do what you have not given him permission to do by misdirection. And so if he can get us to look at the treasures of this world, then we won't look at the treasures of heaven. If he gets us to look at money, we won't make Jesus our master. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18, he says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction. So what he's saying is, we are focusing, we're being renewed day by day. How do we do that? And then he says, these light and momentary afflictions. And what he's talking about here is being afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, and carrying the death of Jesus in his body. That doesn't sound like light and momentary, does it? To be shipwrecked, to be beaten with rods, to be imprisoned, to die by being stoned and then rose to life again. That doesn't seem like light and momentary. But it is because of what he's looking at. He says, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We see what we're looking for, and we follow and become what we're looking at. So what is Paul looking at? He's not looking at his afflictions. He's looking at what's coming ahead. He knows that it's going to be worth it. He knows that in comparison or contrast, what he's going through is down here. But what he's going to get is way up here. It all depends on what we're looking at, because we will, if we focus on our afflictions, we will our attention, our body, our mind, our soul will go towards that, and we will become complaining, whining people. He goes on, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so he says, what I want you to look at is God and his ways. And when you see those in truth, when you understand them, when every day you're taking in information through the wisdom of the ages and through the Bible and through prayer, you will see God and his ways, and it will grow so that whatever you go through will not compare. But if you're not spending time with God, you're going to follow your natural selfish nature. A while back, we went to an art gallery with my daughter Amber. I've never been an art person, but my daughter has a degree in art. She wanted to go to the Cleveland Art Museum. So we went to the Cleveland Art Museum. I was done in about 10 minutes, and 5 of those minutes were hanging up my coat. Because I don't get a lot of art anyway. And I, you know, in my mind I'm going, a 5-year-old could do that. And then I say that to Amber. I said, man, and then you look at the price tag, it's tens of thousands of dollars. And I say, Amber, I am in the wrong business. I can do that. I mean, it's just a block of wood and painted. And Dad, you do not understand. And then she goes into this explanation about what the artist was thinking. I am never going to be an artist. But Amber has spent years and years looking at art, creating art, so that she follows it and she has become an artist. It all depends on what we're looking at. Are we looking at this world or are we looking at the next world? Here's another one, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. What is he saying to look at? This is not a hard question. Rejoice in the Lord. Look at the Lord. And not only looking at him, but rejoicing, taking joy in him, having your heart go out to him. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. What he's saying, what not to look at? Anything that would make you worry, right? Do not be anxious about anything or worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, that sounds like a daily time with God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, you will become what you're looking at. If you're looking at the things in this world that can cause you anxiety and worry, you will become a worrier. But if you're looking at the Lord in spite of all of these things, and you're taking them to him always, constantly, and daily, then you will be following him and becoming more and more like him. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What's he saying? Look at all of these good things. And by looking at them and looking at them and paying attention to them, all the stuff in this world will get in proper perspective. You will become more like Christ as you keep your eyes on Christ. And then the result, he says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, if you do this, you become a peaceful person, a content person, a joyful person, because we follow and we become what we're looking at. You're looking at the things of this world. You're looking at gaining earthly treasure or heavenly treasure. You're looking at making, are you allowing money to be your master or are you making Jesus your master? And the only way to do that is spending time with God and intentionally looking for him and his ways as you're reading the Bible, the devotional book, and praying. I had this message done, and then a song kept coming to my mind, and I heard it as I was driving yesterday, and then as I was finishing the message this morning, trying to get it to print, the song came on again. It does highlight what we should focus on and how God works, but I have a hunch that there's some people here just need to hear this message because it just keeps coming up over and over again. So watch this and listen to the song.
pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?
Either focused on the raindrops and the tears, the sleepless nights and the pain. So we're looking at that, or we're looking to God and trust, believing he knows what he's doing and discovering his ways. You see, we follow and become what we're looking at. And in your time with God this year, he wants to whisper at times. He wants to show you things that will resonate with your soul, that will cause you to know him better and love him more. He wants you to experience that. And you never know what day it's going to be, because most days are pretty normal as you spend in time with God, and you'll catch some insights and some things that are good. My experience has been the times when he whispers most powerfully and I feel his presence strongest is during the rain, during the pain, during the tears. But if we focus on that instead of him, we never hear it. We follow and we become what we're looking at. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Keep alert. Pay attention, he says. Look hard. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So here's some action that I want you to take. During your appointment with God, actively look for insights about God and his ways. When you go to the Bible, you go to the devotional book, you go to prayer, actively look for insights. God, what do you want to show me? And for actions that will help you know God and follow God better. Insights and actions. That starts your day off. And in the front of this book, I encourage you to start with 15 minutes. And then, you know, try to, my ideal would be a half an hour. Time with God. And then after you spend time with God, throughout your day, actively look to God and his ways as you're going throughout your day. When we spend time with God, it's as if we are turning our eyes and our trajectory towards him. If we don't spend time with God and we start the day with the news, or heaven help us, if it's one of the morning shows, or problems, or difficulties, or Facebook, or you start your direction and your focus and your eyes go that. But if you start it with God, then throughout your day you'll be more sensitive to notice. And so here, I don't know if you realize this, but you have permission later in the day to go back and write more. Not just in quiet time. And record so that you can remember. And then finally, always look for and resist the devil's misdirections. Look for, pay attention to the devil's misdirections. You see, that's the thing Apollo Robbins, what he does there is just simple misdirection. And it looks so easy. And the devil has been at it for thousands of years. But with the Holy Spirit, when we're focused on him and his ways, he will give us the ability to see. Pay attention to what he's doing and don't allow it to happen. The misdirections that will keep you from focusing on God, they're not an accident. Satan wants to use those to keep you away from God. So look and pay attention to those. So the first reason was, say it with me, we see what we're looking for. The second reason, we follow and become what we're looking at. So look. Would you bow your heads? What do you need to do this week to look better? I'm not talking about how you dress, but to pay attention better, to focus better. What are the misdirections the devil is using to try to get you away? What can you do this week to look for God and his ways, follow them, and become like Christ? Lord, thank you that your word speaks loudly to us. God, so many times in our culture, we've been duped into living with just a little bit of light in our hearts and souls and tripping over stuff in our hearts. I pray that you would lead us so that your light, your truth, all that you are, shines brightly in our souls, our hearts, our bodies, our relationships in every way. I pray for each one of us this week that you would help us to look and to see all that you so much want to show us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.